Shady boots, shady boots, shady boots, shh. It's your girl Shady, and you know I'd be with the ish, especially if we're talking relationships and mental health. Welcome to the inaugural episode. We're going to be talking about deuces, the scoop on ghosting and cloaking. With the age that we're living in, blogging, social media, internet marketplaces, and so on, it's really reduced our need to have face-to-face contact with people. That includes dating, even our employers now you can attend by a webinar. It could be text, voice messages, or apps. People communicate in very different ways, and it's so diverse. Some video chatting, and some just by text. But what happens is when that communication stops. Wouldn't it be awkward if you were having a face-to-face conversation with someone and they just stopped talking, stopped moving, and they were giving you no type of action? Well, cloaking and ghosting is kind of the same thing, but online, okay? Ghosting means cutting contact without notice, and cloaking takes it one step further. Let's say you met someone online and you guys were communicating back and forth. Cloaking would be that not only do they not answer your messages, but now their profiles are gone. You've been blocked from all the social media. So basically, whatever virtual footprint they had or means for you to contact them is now gone. So let's talk about it. And let's talk about some of the mental health effects. So, I mean, both cloaking and ghosting are becoming standard practice and socially acceptable today, especially under certain circumstances. Ghosters and cloakers, they really don't have to deal with the aftermath of emotion, and they really don't suffer real-time consequences to their actions because they just completely cut you off. And it's not even limited to long-term romantic relationships. There's casual dating relationships it happens with, friendships, and even working relationships are all fair play. So let's first talk about, dude, where's my bestie? So with intimate relationships, ghosters deal with feelings or guilt and sadness, especially if terminating long-term relationships. They're trying to avoid that. After reconnecting with some of my friends from high school, I developed a strong desire to like end our relationship. My friends, they didn't do anything wrong, but I just started feeling like our friendship with a mutual associate was beginning to affect the group negatively. I've known the group since high school. And I was just starting to feel adversely affected because I was feeling as though it was my responsibility to mend an unrepairable relationship within our group. Choosing to end the relationship with all three of those friends seemed less dramatic for me than ending the relationship with one friend and then having to feel guilty every time I get together with the groups and having to choose, okay, which invitation do I accept or which invitation do I deny? Because at the end of the day, we're looking at all five of us. Christmas falls on the same day for everyone. And I guarantee you two people are going to send an invite. So to me, that was more stressful than just ending the relationship as a whole. And what happened is because I care for the individual so much and there was negativity going back and forth, and I was also starting to get pulled into that negativity and participating in it, I just didn't want that to continue. And I didn't want to feel guilty when I saw one or the other and then have to be reminded of what's going on with the relationship. So I actually just ended up being or remaining friends with one individual in the group, the individual that I was closest to when we were in high school and that knew the most personal information about me. And we haven't maintained the closest contact, but we've maintained closer contact than I have with the other individuals. And also, it's just a friend that when I'm speaking, she actually lets me have my idea and my thoughts. She also feels comfortable disagreeing with me, and I feel comfortable disagreeing with her. With the other three individuals, it's just been very difficult to get a point across to them, or I never feel like how I feel or my point of view is actually being considered. Whenever I'm speaking, it feels like those friends are more focused on letting me know how long it's been since I contacted them, or how long it's been since we've gotten together, or that I haven't shown up to any important life events. in their lives or their children's lives. But my answer to that mentally is, well, if I don't get an invite to any of the things, then how can I come? So for me, that's not an issue. Of course, I'm not coming if I don't get an invite, but I cannot invite myself if I don't know about it. And then the other thing is, yes, we may have a difference of opinion, but if I'm always accommodating how you feel, it starts to be a draining relationship because everything's one-sided. I'm accommodating everything that you feel. I'm making changes in the friendship to make you feel better. But when I'm expressing how I feel, especially if it's negative, then somehow it still remains my fault and a problem that I need to fix, even if I'm asking the other individual to consider their behavior. So for me, reciprocation is actually a good reason to ghost or cloak someone, especially if you decide that this person is toxic and they only bring around negative energy in your life. It's not something people think about, but we do it a lot. And really to avoid feelings. The funny thing about that is, though, after the experience, I still felt like I felt relief, but I also still felt hurt, like I'm not going to be able to continue this relationship. But to me, the relief that I'm receiving instead of the continual hurt over years to come, to me is a bigger relief and is an adjustment to my mental health that's going to keep it healthy and functioning and lower my stress level. Now, the other way people ghost or cloak is when they have professional services. And since I like talking about mental health and it's personal to me, one of the things I'll talk to you about is pulling the plug like professionally. And definitely that would happen with a therapist. Let's just say you meet a therapist. Maybe you're not feeling the vibe. It's not clicking. You're not meshing. And so you want to find another therapist. A lot of people have a hard time directly telling the therapist, okay, thank you for your services today, but I won't be returning. They either request a new physician, doctor, psychiatrist, or they just never go to see that individual again. Some people will actually have multiple sessions and then will discontinue the relationship. And when you look in the blogs, the boards, we're discussing things on there, a lot of people feel that it's appropriate that if they paid a professional for services, then it shouldn't be expected that there would be any relationship after that service has been provided. So say with the therapist, then if I'm paying for this session and I've paid you the $150 that you billed me or that you're charging me and I've satisfied that bill, then I agreed to that service date and that payment. I didn't agree to a follow-up service date and a follow-up payment. So some people are thinking, okay, well, you shouldn't be offended. I did pay for the services and then it's my choice not to come back. What happens is, even as a therapist, they're asking the same type of questions professionals as a lover or intimate partner would ask. Did I do anything wrong? Was there anything that I could have done better? And especially with a therapist, you're wondering, well, are you okay? Like, are you receiving the support and the help that you need? Unfortunately, though, if the individual does not contact you, then you're just kind of left with those questions. It's really important to know, though, that you're not the reason, for the most part, that an individual would ghost or cloak you. And the last reason why I'm going to say somebody should be ghosted or cloaked, I call it that it's not me, it's you. And that's about walking away from relationships or potential relationships that are uncomfortable situations for you. And maybe you want to avoid any type of drama that would occur. I don't know about you, but for me, when I meet someone, I always joke about it. But in the first 5 minutes, I could feel that person's energy and I could pretty much tell where our conversation could lead or how far our relationship is going to go. That's with a professional relationship or friendship. I almost know immediately whether we're going to click or not. So for me, it's not that, okay, I'm never going to speak to this person, but I know that I can't have an in-depth conversation because something about their personality triggers a negative response in mine. And so for me, I just rather avoid those things. So once I notice that right away, I'm kind of like less talkative. And if we don't have to be in each other's space, then I probably don't find a reason to go into that negative space in an effort to avoid anything happening or going left. So when I looked at a lot of the dating blogs, because this will be a second and third and fourth part of this ghosting cloaking. Once I started getting into it, it was just very interesting all that was going on. But a lot of people actually view it as something that they may not be obligated to do, that maybe some people are not obligated, or they're not owed an explanation to what is going on, especially if they haven't carried on a long-term relationship. So let's say you've on Tinder, you swiped a couple of times and he swiped and it was a match, but you guys went on two dates, not really feeling it. Then people feel like, okay, I don't have to actually return your call. I listen to the radio sometimes in my local area. There's 99.1. There's a radio station where they have an update to individuals who go on a first date and then they get ghosted. Like they're not getting any contact back, no responses to their calls or texts. And so they're trying to figure out, like, what happened? We had a great date, so why not a second date? And there's all types of reasons that people never even imagined when they hear the other individual. Now, what I don't like about that is we take it back to the high school, or they do at least, where it's a three-way call, but one of the parties is unaware that there are three parties on the phone. So that part I really don't enjoy, because you're kind of like ambushing this individual. One, you got an emotionally charged individual on the line wondering, why didn't this person validate me? I was having a great time. Why did they reject me? That's number one. And then on the other end, you have the person being open and honest about why they rejected someone. And unfortunately, sometimes what you would say to someone's face is not what you would say to your girlfriend or your mom or your sister. You know, it's not the same way that you would tell the story. And that's what happens when someone doesn't know that the other person is on the phone. Like, they may hurt their feelings, but unintentional, because it's basically a setup call. So those type of things, I definitely wouldn't want anyone to be in the situation. But for someone who says, okay, well, safety concerns. Someone was stalking me. They contacted me way too many times afterwards, or I felt uncomfortable. Those are all valid reasons for ghosting somebody. And a lot of times, those reasons are very rare. Rarely does anyone get ghosted because, like, they're a horrible person, or that someone didn't feel safe or felt uncomfortable. Normally, people are just getting ghosted because someone's not ready to make the next level of commitment, or they thought something was going to be fun. Maybe it's not the right time in their life. Maybe they were testing something out and they decided, okay, I don't want this anymore. But again, because they have not established a long-term relationship, they feel less guilty about that. The blogs also talked a lot about feeling guilty if you were in a long-term relationship. And I actually have experience with that once I started thinking about it. I at first was thinking, okay, the psychology of ghosting kind of sucks, because when you ghost someone, especially after a long-term relationship experience, that person does not get to receive closure. And some people really need that closure. Some people want closure so they can work on themselves or improve whatever that person is saying is negative. Some people just want to know if they're getting the same type of comments, like maybe they haven't had steady relationships. So they're just trying to figure out, okay, is this something consistent with me, or is this something just you're not ready for right now? And that matters a lot, especially if someone has a strong desire to be in a committed or monogamous or more intimate relationship with someone. And so I realized that, and I was thinking, once I was doing the research, and I was thinking, okay, I guess that's true. For me, I have actually ghosted all three of my major relationships. But for me, it was a lot of the it's not me, it's you. And I know that sounds kind of funny, but unfortunately, I just have not been like the greatest at picking intimate partners. I was very young on my first one, and he ended up being a person who was physically abusive, had a problem controlling his anger, and we were teenagers. So definitely a red flag there. And then my second partner, who actually ended up being my first husband, a person who is a bit insecure, and it caused a lot of issues. Interestingly enough, fidelity issues or infidelity issues. At the time, I was very young, and I just wasn't thinking that if there were those type of issues, that infidelity would be a problem. But it was like 8 months into my marriage, and definitely the issue came up. But it ended up that this individual had other issues that we couldn't address. It was like the underage dating and all of those things. So it was more serious than what I even knew at that time. Then I recently found out that my first serious relationship, that individual actually was accused, and I guess it has been admitted to that they molested their niece, which is, again, now you're seeing what my track record is. My last partner, it was just more of the I was losing my identity. It was slow, it was gradual, but it happened. And so it just became this thing where whatever activity was going on, it would be the activity that that person enjoyed. Whatever conversation we were having, it would always be about that person. Sometimes the conversation would start off, "Tell me about your day, what's going on with you?" And I get to say like maybe three sentences, and then it would be, "Well, I don't mean to interrupt, but," and then they'd start telling me something about them. And it just started leading to uncomfortable conversations, and then it was just high tension, and it just started not being fun. And I think in those spaces, because we were together on and off for 10 years, you're just thinking, this is a long-term investment. Like, I don't want to give this up and have to start these 10 years over with someone else. But at the end of the day, although cloaking and ghosting by research could definitely cause some problems, like when it mostly happens on the internet. But the age that we live in right now, the internet is so prominent. Like, it definitely connects us in some very unique ways, where we're able to meet with people across the country to get business done. Even on podcasts, you're able to hook up with other guests without them having to be in your studio or in your home or by your phone or computer. So definitely with those things, it's more efficient. It's definitely changing the way that we meet people. But too much time online becomes unhealthy, especially when someone's dependent on a relationship and they're not able to have that face-to-face contact. And it seems that not having the face-to-face contact definitely makes it less impersonal for us. So we don't deal with emotion as much as we would as if somebody was standing in front of us and you would see someone crying or you would see someone hurt or devastated by the breakup. With this, out of sight, out of mind, it makes it easy, unless you're in some small town. Then that's a whole nother bit. When I first wanted to talk about this ghosting and cloaking, I had started the research and I was gonna go ahead and do a little bit on my station head. I'm a station head ambassador as well. And so I was gonna do a little bit on there. And one of the gimmicks is I was gonna ghost my listeners for that show. I knew some people have been waiting for it, and so I was going to ghost them so that we could follow up and talk about that on the air. Well, it ended up that I was also ghosted on the same night, and I've never had that happen to me, like never. And it's basically a guy that I met. Like, I'm newly single. I was in a long-term relationship, and then I developed a chronic health issue that started to deteriorate my mental health. I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder 1 at the age of 21. So I was in my freshman year of college then, but it didn't bother me much, actually, to be honest. And I thought the insomnia that came with it and the it's hypomania. Kind of the same as hypermania, but just not as intense. So there's still this lofty feeling. You have like more energy, but unfortunately, like it is rumored, I have never had the opportunity to meet God. So I never get that high on my diagnosis that I get to meet God. But I do feel like a little more energetic, and sometimes I feel like thoughts are clear, like I could get more things done. I love to work when I'm in my hypomania stage, because I just really feel that way. So by now, you probably figured out that I don't take prescribed medication. And it's not that I've never, Actually, when I received my first, the first time I heard the diagnosis, I went home with a prescription medication, and it just turned out to be something very interesting that I won't get into now. So I didn't like it, and after 3 months, I stopped taking it. Then, when the chronic health situation came up, it was just really starting to mess with my identity and my psyche as a person. Like, I was starting to lose my independence. I was having difficulty completing my daily activities, like cooking or cleaning. I couldn't stand up long. I couldn't walk long. I couldn't sit down long. Then there came this time where, and I'm about 32 at this time when I first started experiencing these issues. And then by the time I'm 33, I'm like actually falling down in mid-stride. So it would be that for some reason, I would experience numbness in my hands, in my arm, and in my leg. And there would be some occasions where I would go to put pressure because you're walking and you're shifting weight, and I couldn't feel anything, and I'd just fall right to the floor. And I had one of those incidents at work. I had another one of those incidents a little bit after my youngest child was born. And I actually ended up trying to protect her because I was holding her in my arms and I fell down in my bed of rocks. It's rock landscaping. And oh, that has not been the same. It really like sped up the arthritic process and it just did some things that I did not enjoy. All those things led to a surgery and all the rigmarole, all the shenanigans going on, being the age that we are and not knowing what's going to happen with your significant other, also experiencing health issues with parents. It was just a lot. So our relationship didn't make it through that 3 year span of the worst time of my medical condition, unfortunately. So here it goes, bringing me here to date again. And it's been about a year and a half since I've been dating or wanting to like check it out. But for this article, kind of like the 10 things I hate about you, I decided, you know what? Why not? Like, let's go ahead and write about this experience because I also do a little blogging. So I said, we're going to write about this experience. My first date, I get ghosted. And I guess it was my fault. I just never experienced anything like that. It's just basically you're kind of like beating around the bush, and then I'm the first person to throw out the line, and then he bites the line. I'm so excited. We talk on the phone, we text. It's going pretty well, right? So we're excited to see each other. Our schedules are kind of busy, and I've been keeping some crazy hours too, and traveling back and forth. So we make a date and it's going to be late because that's our schedules and that's the only time we can get together. It happens that he had to make an adjustment to that schedule and he had to drop off his child early from the visit and shift a couple of things around. We made the agreement that he would give me a call at 9 o'clock so we could facilitate the meeting at 10 o'clock. Don't even go there, people. Well, I was waiting at 9 o'clock, and the last time I saw the clock, it was about 9:15. And I was dressed, I came up, I sat on the couch with my girls, and my little one was getting sleepy. So I cuddled up with her on the couch, and I too must have been sleepy because the next time I see the clock, it's 12:48. And sure enough, I go to check my phone, and I see that he texted me, but he didn't call. I never hear my text messages, but okay. I also see that in the text, he's a bit upset. So I text and I say, hey, it's not all what you're thinking. It's not at all what you're thinking. I didn't try to stand you up or flake on you. But I don't call because it's 1 o'clock in the morning. So I wait because he has to work the next morning. And I wait for a few hours after he starts work and I decide to give him a call. That's when I find out that my number is blocked. Because when I text him and tell him that I'm sorry, the response I get to that is a GIF, GIF, so an animated meme, like punching somebody in the face. Like you don't see the other person getting punched, they're just punching. And so if they were standing in front of you, you'd be getting punched in the face. That's the graphic I'm getting. So I did, I took it as a little bit aggressive, but I'm like, okay, I get it. He's super upset. So when I try to call and I'm blocked, then I'm like, I think I'm getting ghosted. Like, he doesn't want to talk to me again. Well, he must have seen my call because it was blocked. And he texts me and he says, "I can't believe that you're calling now." And that's when I realized that, well, maybe I should have called at one. And he explains why he's upset. And so I respect that. I've actually done it to other people before, but it was just that he says I was flaked out on him, and that's with the BS, and it's a deal breaker if somebody flakes on him. So I understand. It's a one and a done, but at the same time, I'm kind of wondering, like, what's up? Did my perceived flaking, because I honestly just fell asleep from being tired and being here and there, and it wasn't intentional. So was he thinking that, okay, maybe it wasn't a serious inquiry, like a face-to-face catfishing type of thing, like I'm pretending to like you, but I don't like you? And I was thinking that. And then I thought, you know what? It's okay. Because maybe if somebody has a short temper like that, then maybe it's not a good fit, right? So sometimes being ghosted is really not all that bad. And ghosting can be so super beneficial. And when I say beneficial, that brings me to the beard guy. Now we call him the beard guy because that's the nickname that my daughter has for him. Because it seemed like he was more interested in my outfit when we met rather than dating me, but I was caught off guard when he asked for my phone number to date me. And then my daughter even said the same thing because we were actually walking to the park. And she's just like, "Oh, I thought he was going to compliment you or something." And I said, "I did too." It turns out that that day we text and I say, "Yeah, it's a little busy, so we'll talk soon." And the very next day I get a text message that says, "Well, you must not like me." So that's the number one red flag. Insecurity is a red flag because that's something that you can't work on. That individual has to work on. You can never love a person enough for them to love themselves. They have to do that first. And then you can love who they are because they love who they are. But if they don't love who they are, you can never love them enough for themselves. Like, that's the truth. So for me, insecurity is a red flag, and sometimes insecurity comes with no friends. And if you don't have any friends and you're insecure, I definitely can't. You're getting ghosted because that's not something that I would find out before being able to speak with you. But for me, yeah, if that's a pattern in your life, we're not gonna work out very well because I'm a very independent person and I like having my own individual goals and connection. Like, I wanna be able to come home and be like, "Oh, what happened in your day today?" I don't want us to have the same day. So I like dating people opposite of me. Next thing you know, okay, I'm like, just give a person a chance. The second red flag is going to be the fact that he was like, "Okay, so I don't have a lot of money, but I could take you out." So I even, girls were so forgiving. So I'm just like, "You know what? Money's not a big deal. How about we just go to the park?" Because I didn't want to be hemmed up in anything. Now, on the blogs and the dating sites, I see that people like to go for coffee. And initially, I was thinking, okay, that's cheap and rude. But then experiencing the beard made me realize that, hey, maybe it's a good idea just to get into a place where you could talk, get to know each other a little bit, and then decide on something to do on the second date. Because imagine like being stuck there waiting for the waitress or the waiter to come and serve you and pay. It's so awkward. And then what if that person didn't like the date? I'm pretty sure they don't want to pay, right? It's just an awkward situation all around. So I'm like, okay, so this was a good idea. And I'm thinking, all right, I'm trying. Maybe he's just nervous. Then we end up that we have to go to his friend's house because he originally said he would be hanging out with him, but then he made last minute plans with me. When we get there, I have to wait in the car because he has to go inside to see, like, make sure everything's straightened up. I guess I take that as a regular man thing. I just assume that's what's going on. I don't know. Remember, I'm just now getting back into the scene. So it's like 10 minutes. It's like, okay, well, here we go. Then we're on the couch, and then his friend has something to do. So he leaves for a moment to go down the street to pick up something. And then next thing you know, the space on the couch gets smaller. Not because this beard has moved over next to me, but because he has his legs all the way wide open, as if I have no idea what would be there. You know what I mean? But oh, I get it now. It's the, "Oh, why are you trying to hide it?" And I respond by saying, "Hide what?" And he says, Why are you hiding your feelings? Gentlemen, ladies, if someone's giving you a look like they're not interested, believe me, they're showing you all of the feeling that they have, which is nada, nothing, zero. They're not holding anything back. That's so annoying. For me, that was the last red flag. So after the research, and even after all the articles I considered, I have to endorse cloaking or ghosting someone. But my disclaimer is this. If you've been ghosted 9 times out of 10, it's not you. It's definitely not always going to be about you. Mostly it's because the other party has issues they need to work on. Maybe they're too afraid to have hard conversations, or they just don't think they owe you an explanation. For the ghostee, I'm sorry, the person, for the ghostee, they want to know, okay, how do you move forward? Like, was it me? Was it not me? And asking those type of questions, that confirms you're receiving validation from that individual, and you wanted validation from that individual. What's very important, though, is that you be able to validate yourself and be comfortable in that. So I want to talk about ghosting because it's so common right now. A lot of the millennials, and I hate picking on millennials because I'm right on the cusp, but a lot of millennials think, okay, this is okay. It's not really a big deal. Either we weren't in a real relationship, I already paid them for their services, or this is an annoying friend that just won't get the message. And I actually sign off on all three of those. And I'm going to sign off on 5 types of guys that you should ghost for sure. If you get these red flags, just stop all communication. One is going to be the know-it-all. Okay, anything, everything, they've done it, they've experienced it, and they've experienced it better than you. It's never going to be a good conversation with this individual. Not at all. And this is probably going to be the person who also acts like your parent, who really wants to date their mom or their dad. You don't want to do that. You may date someone who has some of the same qualities, but you don't want to date someone who's trying to fill that role and mother or father you. So red flags with the know-it-all. Then you have the overprotective person. Now, these individuals can get a little jealous, even to the point like, okay, well, at first they liked you going out when they saw you in this outfit or that outfit. Now you get ready to go out with your friends. Like, whoa, either that's too short, or, oh, that shirt's showing your muscles too much. Now it's that. Even to the point of, let's say, you have a mental health diagnosis or a chronic illness, and then this person, you can't do anything on your own. They want to do everything for you. That person, red flag. You want someone who's going to support you being as independent as you can, as much as you're able to do, because that's really what makes people happy. Their purpose is in their abilities. I like to focus on abilities because it really helps you manage anything that's a disability much better than focusing on that disability and the things you can't do. So I really like strength-based peer support and therapy. I think it's very positive. So someone smothering you that way, I mean, be careful, because yes, there should be concern and that person should be supportive, but to do everything for you and to let that affect what they're doing in their lives, if they can't do anything for themselves, all you're going to do is get someone who's burned out, and the relationship is going to fizzle as well. They're just not going to be able to tell you because maybe they're going to feel bad about it, but it won't be a good relationship. Then there's the I hear you, but I'm never listening type. Red flag. So you're allowed to talk, but they're never changing that behavior. They're never considering your feelings. If you're having those type of conversations that are, okay, well, when you come home at 2:00 in the morning, I feel disrespected because of this. And then the next time they come home at 3:00, red flag. Because if it mattered to them, then this would be something that they want to compromise. Remember that. Always making a sacrifice is not a good deal. That's not you being in love and holding someone down. That's you being a doormat. You always remember that. Then you have the love at first sight. Oh my gosh, the most beautiful relationship. seems, right? Except you're only 3 days in and they are in love with you and they want to go ring shopping. Problem with that, because really that love is a little bit of that overprotectiveness where they're going to start being jealous, wanting to be controlling too much, too fast. They haven't even gotten to know you enough to know what they love about you. I agree. There is a physical attraction right off when you meet somebody because you're seeing them physically. But that attraction, at least for me, can be ruined if someone opens their mouth and it's not something that I want to hear. So love and first sight, I'm a little bit skeptical of. Am I infatuated with you? Do I think I want to be in love with you? Yes, I'm getting all those juju feelings right now, okay? But am I actually in love? No. And anyone claiming to be? Red flag. Flag them. And then my last person is the doctor. Especially if you have a mental health illness or chronic illness, the doctor is going to get on your last nerve. You know why? Because they always know something better. Their grandma always tried this. Their cousin's friend down the street over the road had this and it happened. They always want to do that. They're always reading all of your medications. They take care of your schedule. They almost like the overprotective person, but it's purely just about your illness. They're consumed with it and they're getting upset if you don't do the things suggested. Maybe you just met them and you've been managing this before you met them. So that can become a little bit annoying. So that's my last red flag. The five types of people that you should avoid. And it's definitely okay to ghost by me, the know-it-all, the overprotective, jealous person, the I hear you, but I'm not really listening, the person who falls in love at first sight, and definitely the doctor. You know what it is. I can't tell you everything because it's somebody's real life. So can't give you the whole cup, but I can spill a little bit of tea so you can get a sip. And you know me, I'm Shady, and I'm always with the shits. Tune in next time. We'll talk a little bit more about the mental health effects of cloaking and ghosting.